Well, I'll start. Hold on a minute. Let me. I'll start by publicly congratulating the five players and then the one alternate that were selected to the Pro Bowl. All of them: Ryan Clady, Brandon Marshall, Champ Bailey, Brian Dawkins, Elvis Dumervil, and DJ Williams. Very, very deserving. Earned that recognition and certainly deserving of the selection. And we're proud of all of those guys. We're into our preparation for the Chiefs, and there's some different things that we're getting ready for than we played a month ago. Dwayne Bowe's back, certainly adds another element to their offense. He and Chambers, that's a pretty good duo to throw the football to. Jamal Charles, in the last seven games, nobody's rushed for more yards than he has other than Chris Johnson, which is saying a lot. He's playing extremely well. Their defense has turned the ball over 14 times in the last five or six games. So, and their kicking game is probably as good as anybody's that we played. So, we've got a great challenge ahead of us and expect a tough division game on Sunday.
Is DJ first alternate or second?
He's an alternate. I'm not talking about first, second, whatever it is. He's an alternate. We're proud of that.
Could you discuss the move of punter today during the break?
No move at punter. Berger's still punting.
Is he going to punt on something?
Yeah.
Then why'd you bring him?
Well, we never stop trying to, improve the team or look, as we move forward here in any way we feel like we can add depth to our football team going forward. That's what we try to do. And he was a guy that we're familiar with. So we felt like it was a good time to do that with the roster spot open and didn't really have another guy that we felt like at this point in time we were going to bring in and send to the game. So, felt like we improved our team there.
With two Pro Bowls, to what extent has Brandon established himself as one of the elite receivers?
I think consistent production to me is the key, and that's really what he's done for a number of years now. When you do that and you're named by your peers and people that vote on that to that game numerous times, whether it be in a row or not, I think that they recognize your ability and, like I said, very well-deserved honor for all those guys. And Brandon has certainly put himself in a category of, really the top receivers in this conference and in the league.
And at 36, does it surprise you at all that Dawkins?
No, not at all. I think I will say this, I think it's a great tribute to him to come from the NFC, to go to the AFC, and to earn that immediately. And there's a lot of great safeties in football, and to go from one, conference to the other and earn that right to go immediately says a lot about him, says a lot about the respect that he has from his peers. Says a lot about how we feel about him too.
When you look at receiving numbers and stuff, which do you think is more valuable, a valuable statistic, yards per catch or number of receptions?
I think there's pros to both. If you have a high yards per catch, then you're making different plays down the field or you're able to do things with the ball in your hands. And if you have a number of receptions, it means you're able to get open maybe more underneath and try to do some things on third down or in the red zone. I don't really put stock in one over the other. You'd love to have a guy who had a bunch of catches and a high yards per catch. I mean, that's a perfect match. But I think anybody who has a lot of catches has obviously worked hard to get those. And anybody who has a high yards per catch, does a lot to do that too. So I think the offense that you play in obviously affects that. There's no question about it. Some teams choose to throw the ball down the field a bunch. Some teams don't. And that, that affects, whether or not somebody has a high yards per catch.
Is it troubling at all to you when you look at the average per pass for your whole offense, not just Brandon or Gaffney?
No. No, we have opportunities and we got to take advantage of them. And other than that, you got to, you're moving the ball one way or the other. Whether you take a lot of chances down the field and come up short or with nothing to show for it, or you're more of a possession pass team. So it's it works both ways. You can work either way, depending on how you execute.
Do you think
Josh, what conversation, if any, did you have with Matt Cassel after the first game? What do you expect to see second time around?
I spoke with him before the game and briefly, and then after the game also. He's a really good friend. I spent a long time with him, so I've got to know him and his wife, and just happy for his success and happy for his opportunity. At the same time, very competitive. They obviously want to beat us. We want to beat them, and we'll look forward to competing against each other on Sunday.
Josh, what do you think says about Elvis? I know he's doing a lot of defensive type of stuff, but for him to switch positions less than a year ago and make a Pro Bowl in a new position, what does it say about just his work ethic and learning it?
He really bought into what we were doing. A very unselfish player that obviously changed part of his role. Like you mentioned, it's not the entire thing, but he changed part of his role. He also worked really hard to adapt to a different style of rush in some ways. We asked him to do some different things, bull rush maybe a little bit more than just try to run around the corner. But he's capable of doing both. And he bought into our system. And, we always have said here that, sacks are a production or a product of good coverage and good rush. And interceptions and pass deflections are a product of good coverage and good rush also. So, I don't think it's easy to make a transition like that. He certainly did. And he made it look easy at times. And he's still working at it really hard. I think he's been a big part, obviously, of any success we've had on defense.
Josh, how impactive is he when you break down film after the game? How impactive is Elvis when he's not getting sacks?
You got to take you have to account for him. I mean, it's like most really good pass rushers. There's times where you're going to single them, and then there's times where you're going to try to make sure that there's help. And anytime you're using the word help on a pass rusher, it affects what you're doing in the passing game. I mean, somebody's not getting out in the pattern. Somebody else is singled up front. It opens up opportunities for other people. So, whether you get sacks on your own or you help create sacks or disrupt their offensive rhythm some other way because they have to take two players to handle you, you're being disruptive either case. So I think that, he sees plenty of both. He knows he's going to see plenty of both. And I think that's what the good pass rushers, they know that. Every week they're going to see different schemes and things to try to minimize what they can do. And it takes a great resolve to keep doing it play after play after play. You may play 70 plays in a game, and it may take you 65 of them to get a sack, you know what I mean? But you're doing other things to help your team out along the way, and I think that takes patience and resolve to keep doing it. And he's done it all year.
You've had situations in your career where your team's wrapped things up, similar to what the Colts did this week. Mm-hmm. The two games that really directly affect you, you've got the Bengals, who it looks like may play a bunch of reserves, and then the Raiders, who are long out of the race. How much does it concern you that you're not going to get the best shot of the opponents that may directly affect you?
Well, I don't know what shot we're going to get from those teams. I really don't. I don't think anybody does right now. And it's not our it will affect us, but it's not our business. They've earned the right to do whatever they want to with their football teams, whatever they think is best for them going forward. They can do that. And that's – you earn that right over how you play over 16 games. And we're 8-7, and if we were 12-3, we might be in a different situation, and we would be discussing that. So I think that's something that you don't want to wait till now and then start crying foul because somebody else, may rest some players for the playoffs. I mean, that's your problem. You should have done more between now and the beginning of the season to put yourself in a better position. So whatever they choose to do, that's their business. We know in some way, shape, or form we're going to be affected by it. But the number one thing we have to do is we have to prepare and play well against the Chiefs and win our last game. If we can do that, then we'll see what happens. And, we'll do what the league tells us to do the next week.
Josh, does it help your team, the fact that they moved the Jets and Bengals after your game? There was a chance that those two teams could win and you guys take the field with nothing to play for. Mentally, does it help you that there still is that chance because they haven't even taken the field?
I don't know. I just hope we're focused on the game. I mean, I know there's a lot of other factors that are at play, and there's so many different scenarios that if you're sitting there trying to calculate all those, you might miss the first quarter. So I mean, I think we should just focus on the Chiefs, get ready to play, and go out there and coach and play as hard as we can on Sunday. And then whatever happens, like I said, whatever they tell us to do on Monday morning, that's what we're going to do. So we'll see. We'll see how it all unfolds. But I don't think we want to go ahead, Jim. A couple more.
My apologies.
That's no worries.
Going back to your Pro Bowl guys, I don't think Ryan Clady was very high up at all in the fan voting at all. So what is that? I guess he must have gotten a lot of respect.
He's a quiet guy.
Well, that's true. He's exactly. He won't talk to us. So he's a quiet guy. He must have gotten a lot of, obviously, respect. Is that the sense you get?
I think that's really the thing to be proudest of, you know, as a player, is that your peers really selected you to play in that game as the best of the best. And that does say a lot about, you know, because the guys that are voting for him, a lot of those guys are the guys rushing against him or trying to, you know, win the line of scrimmage against him in a running game. So they know who he is. They know what he does. And I think it's a great honor for all those guys to get selected and be able to go play in that game, because it says a lot about what you've earned, and they've earned the respect of the peers in the league.
Did he even say anything when you got
to him? I talked to him last night, and he was excited, as excited as he could be.
How did you tell?
Huh?
How did you tell he was excited?
I don't know. I could tell he was smiling. I mean, it's something to be proud of. All those guys are, and we're proud to have him here.
Josh, in your passing game, you know, you take your shots down the field, and then we see it, a lot of the short passes. Mm-hmm. Percentage-wise, there's not a whole lot of that. The seam routes compared to maybe what other teams do.
Like the one we 15 hit.
15 to 20 yard.
The one we hit to Scheffler.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I know you do take, but I mean, I guess my question is that the area of the field that, I mean, this is your first year with the system, first year with Kyle, is that maybe something that comes along, it takes the longest to come along as far as that particular?
I think there's some things in a pass game, I think, that take more than just design and or a player here, a player there to make them go. Sometimes you need and you've seen examples of that throughout the course of the season. You know, Kyle and Brandon in the red zone, you know, throwing the fade up, and he goes up and gets it because it's in a good spot and he shields the defender. Those are plays that, you know, and they would tell you, they work on those on their own, you know, and try to get that chemistry between each other. And it affects, you know, that play and then other plays as well. And there's other routes and other players that work on other things with the quarterback, because those are the four or five things that they really need to work on. And some of those things there's some intricacies involved with them. So I don't think you can just put it on the board and say, okay, there, we're going to run that play and it's going to be beautiful. You know, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they have to spend extra time, which our guys have done, on some of those things, because it does take a little bit of time. And the quarterback says, where do you want the ball? And the receiver says, well, throw it here away from the defender and I'll try to shield them. And so there's different things. And obviously the further up the field you're throwing it, you know, the lower percentage play you're dealing with. So there's a lot of things that have to go right, which is why it takes a lot more work to get those things to work the way you want them to.
One more for Steve Cox.
Okay.
If you make the
this
playoffs,
is like four after you said
it.
It
is.
We're just rolling
but
over
he just
you
like
today.
Now he just wails until I go.
Okay.
If the Broncos make the playoffs, is this a successful season? If the Broncos don't make the playoffs, is this a failed season in your first year?
I don't know whether we're gonna make it or not. We're gonna play hard on Sunday, and we'll see what happens at the end of the season. I think that's ultimately what we want to do, and we're focused on winning this game. And we're hopeful if we win, we'll have a chance to play longer, and we'll see what happens. We're not going to put a label on this season today, not at all.